Isn't that just a great song selection for the subject we're talking about? Because tonight we're talking about fear. When we were in the book of 1 John the last time, I asked you what you thought of when you thought of the word, when you think of the word cultivate. Maybe you thought of the word intentional, maybe you thought of the word nurturing. But I asked you the question, and you gave really the right answer. Do you have to cultivate weeds? No, you don't cultivate weeds. They just grow. But oh, you do have to cultivate flowers. You do have to cultivate vegetables. And 1 John is, in part, a book about cultivating your relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me to this book, but I want you to go to the last chapter of the book, 1 John chapter 5, and I want you then to look at verse 20 when you get to 1 John toward the end of your New Testament. 1 John chapter 5, and find verse 20. Here's what God says by inspiration through the pen of John. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And what we're learning is really what happens and what you can expect, what you can experience as you develop this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who is true. What happens when I know him? What can I expect he will do in my life? We learned together already as we studied this book, the five reasons that John wrote the book. And each of the times God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us why John wrote this book. Each of them brings out a common connection, and that is each of the reasons for writing this book are related to or connected to the relationship that a person has with Jesus Christ. So the last time we were in the book of 1 John, and we asked this question, what can you expect or what can you experience in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? The key word was the word cultivate. Intentionally nurturing your relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you do so, we learn together that you can expect and experience maturity through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can expect and experience motivation through a relationship with Jesus Christ. How do you sustain long-term motivation? How many of you are really good for short-term motivation? Who's really good for short-term motivation? Okay, I've got something that has to be done. I've got a deadline. I'm really good at making that deadline. Short-term motivation, but if you want to have long-term motivation, it has to come back to a relationship with Jesus Christ and the intimacy of this relationship. Now, tonight, we're going to again explore further what you can expect as the Holy Spirit, through John's pen, speaks to us. What you can expect when you cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about one subject and only one passage tonight. There's more to be said, but we'll come back to 1 John for this. Here's what you can expect and what you can experience. You can expect and experience power over fear through the relationship with Jesus Christ. You can expect and experience power over fear through your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you're in 1 John chapter 5. You want to probably go back a page. Maybe for you, you turn your page back. For me, and the way my Bible is laid out, it's across the page. You might need to scroll down or however you do it with your device. But 1 John chapter 4 and verses 16 to 19, God tells us about a very significant subject. It's the subject of fear. And before John ever gets to the subject of fear, he first tells us about experiencing the love of God in verses 16 and 17. He reminds us that we have experienced the love of God by faith. Look in your Bible, chapter 5, verse 16. Or it's not 5, excuse me, chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. In fact, the expression "we have known" is a really interesting construction of grammar. It means that there's something that happened in the past, but it still has continuing results and it's still active in my life. And he says, there was a time, remember back when you came to the point that you came to Jesus Christ and you knew that he loved you and he came into your life by faith and he saved you. I want you to remember that that experience happened then, but it still has dynamic implications in your life today. It's still to be lived out. So we have experienced the love of God by faith. And how many of you can think back in the time in your life when you came to Christ and were saved? Can you think back at the time in your life when you really got assurance of your salvation? You questioned and you doubted and you wondered, am I really saved? Did I really mean it? And you came to the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit of God confirmed to you that you have indeed put your trust. Do you remember back when you got assurance of your salvation? How wonderful it is. And it just reminds us that we have experienced the love of God by faith. But then there's something more. We are experiencing the love of God through fellowship. So we read again in verse 16, not only have we known and believed, but we have also believed the love which God had for us. We have believed the love that God hath to us. And then I want you to notice verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in him. Now, this word, dwelleth there, is a word that you will find translated other ways in this passage of Scripture, or in this book. We've already found some of them. We found it's translated continue. We found it's translated abide. We found it's translated remain, verse 15. And now in verse 16, he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. And this word is the same term, but it's another nuance is placed into our Scriptures and the translation of the Bible that we use. This dimension, dwelleth, tells us that means to live or to be at home. And as we live in fellowship and stay consistently in fellowship with God, God develops with us an intimate and open, dependent relationship, and we experience the love of God so that it becomes real and practical. Maybe you've had this conversation with somebody. I've had this conversation before. I've had this conversation a number of times where people will say, you know, I knew that God loved me, and I believed that God loved me, and I accepted it was true. But it wasn't until I really focused on intentionally cultivating a relationship with God that I knew experientially that God loved me. See, for some, what happens is it's a theological proposition that they will accept. But my friend, a theological proposition, though you must be true, you don't want false theological propositions. Truth is truth is truth. Everything has to be the truth. But I'm going to tell you that in this cultivation of a relationship, the theological proposition that God loves me becomes real and personal whenever you experience that his love for you is just that. It is real and personal. And so sometimes we'll ask this question, do you really believe and are you experiencing the love that God has for you? Is it a real and personal relationship? That his love for you is not just known by the mind, but experienced in your life. You see, if you don't, if you've missed it, you've missed it. You've missed it. So God reminds us that we have experienced the love of God by faith. We are experiencing currently the love of God through fellowship. And there's something else that Romans 5:5 tells us, and that's a really good cross-reference to write in 1 John chapter 4, where we are. And that is that the love of God is shed abroad. This is Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, which he hath given to us. Do you know what happens? As we are cultivating this relationship with Jesus, there's a supernatural work that the Holy Spirit does in us. And he takes the love of God and moves it from the theoretical and the factual into the experiential. Wow. So the work of the Holy Spirit as Jesus is working in your life. And then it takes us to this truth that we are transformed by the love of God through fellowship. So verse 17 of 1 John chapter 4 reminds us of this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Herein, where? Well, within that relationship we're told about in verse 16, in this relationship, the love of God, this fellowship relationship with God, the love of God is made perfect. It means that it becomes complete in us. Through it, it means that God is making me all that he wants me to be. When you read perfect in your Bible, think, all God is making me all that he wants me to be. And in this fellowship with God, God changes our lives. He perfects our love as we live and remain in fellowship with God. But there is more. Number four is this. We are prepared for the judgment seat of Christ through fellowship. Now that to me is very interesting, because verse 17 reminds us not only herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, that we may receive in our body that for that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. Every one of us will one day, who are in Christ, will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And this love relationship prepares us for that very significant day. Let me ask you this. Can you think of days in your life that were really important days? Because over your lifetime, you have day after day after day after day. And after a while, some of the day, things just run together. But there are some days that really stick out to you. Really important. Is your birthday important? Yeah. There may be other days. You look back at your life, and these are really important days. And you think, what's been the most important day of your life to this point? Can I tell you? If you are in Christ, can I remind you of what the most important day of your life is? And it hasn't happened yet. The most important day of your life is the day that you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you receive reward or loss, not of your salvation, no. But you give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ for the investment of your life in things that matter in eternity. That is the most important day of your life. And there's something about walking with God in fellowship that the love of God prepares you for that great day. Can I tell you that when I think of the judgment seat of Christ, I think of it, and I think of it in so many ways as a fearful day, a dreadful day. Maybe you feel the same way. Lord, I hope I'm a faithful steward of that way you've placed in my life. And I think of it as a dreadful and fearful day, except that this verse of Scripture helps me, because this verse of Scripture tells me in verse 17 that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. When I'm walking in fellowship with Christ and being transformed in this relationship as he is working in my life, he is working and preparing me for that day. So when I face him on that day, I don't have to fear. But I can stand boldly For he has prepared me through our fellowship day by day for that great day. Now, have you ever read the Bible and you have said, I don't know if I really understand that? How many of you have done that with the Bible? You read it, I don't understand that. So I'm preparing this, working through this passage of Scripture, and I am doing a discourse analysis of this Scripture, and I'm writing through this Scripture, and I wrote in the margin beside this one verse, I wrote these words, I don't understand this. And I read it, because as he is, so are we in the world. So I don't understand this. Now, how many of you look at it and I say, you know, I don't even, I can agree with you. I don't understand this. Okay. So what does that mean? Well, don't forget, we are told 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, that we shall be like him. And if you know the end of this verse, you say it with me. For we shall see him as he is. You see, there will come a time when we are raptured from this place, or if the Lord chooses to take us home before we are raptured. And when we go from this world to the next, what will happen is we will be transformed, because when we see Christ, he will transform us. And you know, already before we ever get there, God is already all that he is. And in God's sight, as he is, we already are. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm not already all I... No. But do you realize that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, remember the exchange that he makes? My sin was placed on his account, that was paid on the cross. His righteousness was placed on my account. And right now, when Jesus looks at me, he does not see me only with all of my flaws and failures. But when Jesus looks at me, he sees all my flaws and failures, but he sees me clothed in his righteousness. And one day, when he changes me completely, when I'm with him, I will be transformed to be just like him in his righteousness. And even now, while I'm failing, my weaknesses and my failures and my defeats and all that I, in my pitifulness I am, I'm so glad that I have awaiting me, and my standing before the Lord is that I am righteous because of his righteousness. And all the work, or what God is doing in this fellowship that we enjoy, is he is changing me so that I can experience more and more, experience even now, his transformational work, so that I can even now become more righteous and more like Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So there's something else this passage of Scripture tells us then. Because John talks about experiencing the love of God in verses 16 and 17. And now he tells us about overcoming fear by the love of God in verse 18. And he starts with a very powerful statement about fear. Look at your Bible again. There is no fear in love. No fear in love. There is no fear in love because God's love for me is eternal. God's love for me is immutable. His love does not scare me. What scares you? The love of God should never scare you. In fact, the love of God brings comfort. And then, after telling us this powerful statement on fear, then we're told about the powerful effect of fear. Look in your Bible again, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Now, how many of you would look at this and you know what it is to have fears and you'd say, boy, I'd agree with that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't know what it is, but I'm telling you. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, this is wonderful. Because in the love of God for me, I don't need to be afraid. Are you afraid that God's going to allow something in your life that is so devastating? You're wondering, God, are you going to do that to me? And wait a minute. God may bring something devastating to your life, but does that change His love for you? Does that change that He wants the very best for you? Does that change that He uses even the things that you may fear the most to do a work in you that is beyond what you could imagine, but He knows that even in love, He has to do the difficult things? There's no fear in love. And when I love Him, Lord, I have things that I'm afraid of in my life. I have phobias. That's the word for fear here, phobias. I'm afraid what people think. I'm afraid of this and I'm afraid of that. And it becomes debilitating in my life. And I think about all the things that could happen. And I get so worked about all that could happen. And I live in, and I cower in fear. Wait a minute. Lord, whatever you allow, you work in my life out of love. And I respond to you in love. So, Lord, I want to obey you and trust you out of an expression of love for you. Sure, I'm afraid of some things, but Lord, I'm going to be willing to trust you and trust you for grace and power to obey you because I love you. And I know that you love me. And through this love relationship, our love to the Lord and the Lord trusting His love for us, God works through the phobias that everybody has. Fear. Well, then, with that in mind, then you'll see a really, the Holy Spirit makes a personal diagnostic or diagnosis of fear. Look in your Bible again, verse 18. I'll read it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And then we keep reading, because fear hath torment. And if you know what it is to be dogged by fear, you could say, boy, isn't that the truth? You live in torment when you're controlled by fear. But then, hold on a second. Do you realize that your fear and the reason that you may be living in torment because of fear is that really what's happening is that you don't trust the love of God for you. Do you trust the love of God for me, that God would allow this into my life? Do you trust the love of God, that God loves me enough to allow this into my life and that He can help me to overcome? Could it be that the reason you're so controlled by fear is because you're not responding to the Lord in love? Trusting His love for you and your love for Him. Oh, fear is a terrible tyrant. But then there's a wonderful and very practical tactic for fear. Because we're told that perfect love casteth out fear. That means whenever the fear creeps up into your heart and your life and you're afraid, perfect love says, wait a minute. God loves me. He would never allow anything in my life that did not first pass through His love for me. My God looks for the very best for me. And whenever I'm overwhelmed in my mind by my fears, I take it and I say, God, I'm going to cast it away. And that's what the term means. It means to throw it away. And I'm going to take a hold of it and say, no, I cannot let that fear manipulate me and control me because you love me. Your love is greater than the greatest fear that I have. And Lord, because I love you, I'm not going to hold on to that fear. I'm not going to let that fear manipulate me. Because I love you, I'm going to cast it aside and trust you with that great fear in my life. And that may be what you need to start on this week. You've been so manipulated by fear. You've become so accustomed to living under its powerful control, that God is ready to break you through with His powerful love. And in that relationship, you learn to cast it aside and trust His love for you. Now, there is a difference between tactics and strategy. Casting aside your fear is one of the tactics. It's the skill of dealing with that, with the issue in your life immediately. But their strategy is long-term. What's the long-term game? And John ends this section of Scripture on fear with a long-term strategy through a relationship, a love relationship with God. Look in your Bible, chapter 4 and verse 19. We love Him. Why, church? Say it with me. Because He first loved us. The long-term strategy for overcoming fear is resting in God's love for me and responding in love to God. And it goes back to this intimate relationship. Does anyone have a fear problem? Can I tell you, you probably don't have a fear problem. Oh, it's a problem. It's a problem. But your fear is not your problem. You don't have a fear problem. The fear problem is what you identify. But can I tell you, at the root of your fear problem, can I tell you what the real problem you have is? You have a love problem. A love problem. And through this intimate relationship with Jesus, then the Holy Spirit of God can do a supernatural work to affirm and shed the love of God abroad in your hearts. And by faith, you claim that He loves me. And by faith, you respond in love. We love Him. He initiated His love. And so, Lord, I love You. And that love relationship, through it, perfect love casts out fear. So you don't have a fear problem. You have a love problem. And so we go back to fears. And I'm going to ask you a question I've asked you a couple of times in this study in 1 John. Tonight, how would you describe your relationship with God? Let's stand together, shall we?